I was captured by an enemy who had one goal in mind, my life, to make my life miserable. I wasn't physically tortured, only emotionally. I was deprived of all enjoyment. I was given enough food to stay alive, but nothing more. I was subtly threatened as to what would happen to me in the future, and this filled me with worry and anxiety, and I was made to feel guilty, lowly, worthless. Insults and put-downs were constantly thrown at me. If you have any feelings of hope about the future, I was told, give them up. You will suffer for the rest of your life. Wouldn't that be absolutely awful to be the victim of such an enemy? Unfortunately, many people are, and the enemy that is creating such unhappiness is themselves. They think and they act in patterns that cause themselves intense yet unnecessary suffering. The way they talk to themselves, the inner picture they visualize, cause them such emotional misery. Is it possible to go from self-torture to a life of joy? So that is what we're going to be speaking about this morning. Most people don't suffer as much as they would, as has been described here, but they have very limited emotional lives. They don't experience a fraction of the joy that is available to all those who learn to use their minds wisely. You create your emotional reality in your brain. Create a life of joy. How? Good morning and welcome to the Kavana Show, Body, Mind and Soul. And this morning we are the 14th of Tammuz in the year 5776, and we are the 20th of July 2016. And we are live from Sfat, Israel, and Baruch Hashem, I have my co-host together with me, Rabbi Alon Anava, and that is exactly what we are going to be speaking about. Why aren't people happy, and why do they become depressed? Because they have problems and issues. So good morning, Alon, and thank you, and welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning. How are you? How is all the help? All the listeners are doing well.
Baruch Hashem.
So you mentioned about why is everybody unhappy. Really, I don't know why people are unhappy. There's no reason to be unhappy, and unfortunately, I that's all I hear every day from everybody, that their problems are making them unhappy. And we all have problems. There's not one person in the universe that doesn't have problems. It's a total normal thing to have problems. The point is not to make my problems. Why should my problems make me unhappy? I mean, they can make me uncomfortable, but they should not make me unhappy. And the problem is that the fact that we have problems, that's not going to change. That's the rhythm of life. We perceive it as problems, but it's not really problems. I mean, some of the problems we actually create.
Yes.
That we have to take responsibility and know that some of the problems that I'm going through, I created it. So the way you set your bed, that's how you're going to sleep on it. And a lot of people tell me that they feel that God is punishing them. I did this, God is punishing me for that. This happened because I did this. Just yesterday I was in a lecture, and a lady told me that she knows somebody who did a certain act that was not according to the Torah, and therefore she feels God punished her because she has a disabled child. And I told her, well, what kind of a nonsense are you saying? Like, who gives anyone the authority to decide why a person had a disabled child because they did something? It's totally wrong. And a lot of people, they tend to try to analyze, oh, this negative thing happened because I did that. And it's very not accurate. There is a certain, let's say, a percentage of truth that if you do something, a certain action, there is going to be a reaction. That's how the world works. Mm-hmm. That you do an action, and right away, you'll get a certain reaction. And it's not right away physically, because the reaction can come a year later. But if I do something positive, most likely, the reaction will be positive. Like if you walk in the street and you smile to somebody, good morning, most likely they'll smile back and say good morning too. I mean, if he's a grouch, he's not. But most people will react the same way. if I do something negative, then the reaction I'll get will be negative. And again, the reaction can come a year down the line. That's why people get confused, because they did something wrong or good a year before, and a year later, suddenly they're getting a reaction. But a lot of the things that we deal with is our own problems. I mean, if I go and gossip against somebody, and then somebody else comes and badmouths me, and then I get into an argument, and I go into this entire backwards and forth of arguing, and it really affects me, then I can only blame myself because I started the argument. Or if I behave a certain way and I'm getting back a certain reaction, and I will perceive it as a problem, it's my fault. I have to take responsibility.
Absolutely.
So certain things that we're going through is our fault, and we have to take responsibility. There's no doubt. But the rest of the stuff, Be'ezrat Hashem, in this show, we're going to go through different reasons why we're dealing with problems, and how we have to separate it from a problem is a problem. There's a rhythm to life.
From Johannesburg to Israel, to business, this is 101.9 Chai FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Kavana Show, Body, Mind and Soul, all the way live from Svat. And please, I do apologize for the technical difficulties that we seem to be having here. And please God, it will be much better now. Craig did say it sounds much clearer. So I'm not sure where we got actually cut off or where the sound was not so good. And the topic that we're speaking about this morning is why people aren't happy. And the second question, and why do people become depressed because they have problems and issues? So Alon was just sharing with us, you know, why people aren't happy. And so to just continue with that thread, and maybe just give a quick overview as to, you know, because we're not sure when we got cut off.
Yeah. So just a very short recap is that unfortunately, a lot of the negative things that happen to us in our life, it's our responsibility, and we cannot blame anyone, and one needs to take responsibility. So I would say a certain percentage of what's going on in our life that is considered negative, one needs to really take responsibility and say, okay, it's my problem. I need to initiate now a certain action to fix it. The problem is that unfortunately, most of us are dealing with a very big ego, and I am right in the arguments. And even if you are right, it's not about being right, it's about being smart. Because just an hour ago, one of my students asked me a question about a certain topic, and I told her, listen, somebody did something very bad to her, and she asked me, what do I think she should do? And it really was bothering her, and she was losing sleep over that, and it created a lot of stress. And I told her, first of all, you have to understand that it happened from Hashem.
Yes.
Hashem gave permission to that person to say or to do that act. Mm-hmm. So that's first of all. Second of all, just by going into more arguments and more fighting and more backwards and forth, who needs that? Just better at this point, just let it go. Forgive her. Yes, you are right. But it's not about being right. It's about being smart. Do you want more hardship, more heartache, more aggravation? Then go back and argue. Or just say, okay, I know I'm right. I'm going to forgive her. I'm going to let it go. And you erase it. And you totally let go. And when you're able to do such a thing, then you're not carrying this negative charge in you. Then you're able to move on. And the problem, one of the many, why people become heavy and depressed is because they're carrying so many knots from their past, because they were not willing to let go about something that happened 20 years ago, and it's not spiritually and emotionally released. So they're carrying baggage with hundreds of these knots that were never untied. And if a person, right when something like this happens, just lets go and says, okay, fine, whatever. So what if I'm right? If I got hurt, means that my ego got hurt because somebody did something to me. And how dare did she say this to me? So the point is to be smart, not to be right. In most of the cases, you are right. But it's not going to help you that you're right.
No, it's not going to help.
You can go sometimes to a court, and you are found guilty, even though you know you're 100% right, whether it's whatever it is, a lawsuit, a car accident, and you want to blow up, and you say, but I'm right. But it's not about if you're right or not. And ultimately, everything happens from Hashem. So I told this specific student, just let it go. Just let it go. You'll be happier because you will be elevated to a much higher spiritual level that you're able to receive this humiliation or whatever it was and just say, okay, fine, I'm going to let it go. And that's one of the ways how Hashem cleanses you by letting you go through some type of a little hardship. We don't understand that. We'll never understand that. But we know, taught from our sages, that these little hardships that we get is really to cleanse us from the dirt that we accumulate. And this, of course, is a spiritual dirt that covers our soul. And the more you're willing to accept things and to let it go and to forgive, the power of forgiving is the source of all salvation and freedom. And when you don't forgive somebody, you're holding this in you, but and ultimately you're punishing yourself because you're holding this negative energy in you and you're not willing to release. And if you start releasing all these knots, so what if somebody did like this and like that to you? So what if this is not working out? The problem is that we get very emotional over things that don't work. And it starts from expectations. And when I have high expectations from a business deal, from a relationship, from anything that I deal with in my life, then the higher the expectation, the bigger will be the disappointment. Because the majority of things in our life will not work out how we want to. And you know, there's a verse in Tehillim, in the Psalms of David, and the ones who pray every morning, they say it every morning, and it says, "Rabot machshavot belev ish v'atzat Hashem hitakum." Many thoughts are in the mind of a man, but the decision was what's going to happen is what God decides. So my grandmother, may she rest in peace, used to say, "We plan and God laughs."
Yes, so, I love that one.
So the reality is that we have high expectations from everything. I wake up in the morning, I already have high expectations that everybody around me will serve me and will smile to me, and that just business deals are just going to be thrown at me, and that I'm going to go to my job and parking space will be right away available. I have these expectations like as if I'm the king of the world and the entire world is standing ready to serve me. And I start getting disappointed from the first moment I wake up. Because my wife says something that I wasn't happy about. The breakfast is not tasting like how I would want to. I had in my mind a certain food I wanted to eat. Somebody, one of my kids, ate it the night before. Every second I'm getting these disappointments. And then goes out to whatever I do that day. The business deal didn't work out. My coworkers said the wrong thing. On the subway, on the bus, somebody took my seat. And every second I get disappointed because I think that the world was created to serve me. Mm-hmm. And the more I remove these expectations, and the thing is that I know a lot of people now are behind the screen or in their car raising an eyebrow and saying, what is he talking about? And that's so not true. I have no expectations of anything. But be honest with yourself and be true to yourself, and you'll make an analysis and you'll be like, you know what? I do have high expectations. Because if you get disappointment from anything, it means that you had an expectation. And if you don't have expectations, you'll never be disappointed. Rather, you'll be surprised. So the majority of our problems can be easily controlled by just doing the right analysis. And Be'ezrat Hashem, after the break, we can continue in elaborating on that and hopefully getting some tools how to deal with these little things that bother us.
Okay, so we're going to our second break. We'll be back with you now. Good morning and welcome to the Kavana Show, Body, Mind and Soul. And we are live from Sfat, Israel. And it is so good to be with you. And Alon and myself are speaking this morning about why people aren't happy. And the second part to that question and discussion is why people become depressed when they have problems and issues. And just before the break, Alon was speaking about the fact that we have these expectations of ourselves, of others, of family members, and that it boils down to our ego, that we are in the mindset sometimes that the world is there to serve us and to serve our every single need, and when that doesn't happen, then we come crashing down. Yep. So you were going to speak about just some tools that the individual, our listeners can use to deal with those issues?
First of all, also it's very important that it's such a broad topic that it's very hard in an hour to squeeze in enough information to really cover the topic, because really there's so many different reasons why one person will not be happy. You know, a lot of the things are very understandable. If somebody loses their loved one, that's a total normal thing to the person to be happy. So I'm saying that because I know when it's a one-way conversation and nobody can actually ask back, that it's important to me to emphasize that not everything that we do is in our control.
Yes.
And not all the sadnesses and problems and depressions are in our control. And there are times in our life that we're dealing with something that has nothing to do with my behavior. It's not in my control. And it's totally natural and human to be sad. I mean, if I lose a loved one, if something that I worked on so hard didn't work out, so many different things. I'm not going to give examples, but there are times that it's totally normal to be sad. But even in those times, it has to be done in the right proportion.
Yes.
Not to let it go too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem where people don't know where to stop and saying, yes, I am sad. It's true. I'm suffering now a great loss. But to know when to draw the line and say, okay, up until here, I have to be sad. That's why even in the Jewish religion, we're only allowed to mourn a death of somebody for a whole year.
Yes.
We sit Shiva, and then we get up from Shiva. Basically, God is telling us, you have 7 days to cry. And then you have another 30 days to be in a state of mourning. But I'm giving you 1 year to mourn, and that's it. After that, you move on. So the Torah is even telling us, you have to mourn a loss. But don't exaggerate with it. Take that year, mourn, accept that that's the rhythm of this world, and move on. Now, a lot of the sadnesses and depressions and problems, there are coming from a physical and emotional imbalance that you can't blame a person.
Yes.
If a person is going through some type of a situation, and a lot of people, they get sad and depressed because of chemical imbalance in their brain and even a physical problem in their body. So again, chas v'shalom, I'm not blaming anyone for anything, and we're trying just to analyze different ways why people will get depressed or unhappy. But once you recognize where it's coming from, then this is already in your responsibility to take an action. Now, if you feel that you are depressed because you know, your life is just not going how you planned, that's one type of a state of unhappiness. But if a person is depressed because, for example, I'm helping now one of my students that she just had a baby not too long ago, and she's going through a postpartum. That has nothing to do with her. It's a chemical imbalance in her body. I mean, I don't know, if I'm not a doctor to say if necessarily it's a chemical imbalance, but the hormones are not how they should be, and she's going through a state of depression. So that's not her fault, and that has to be dealt the right way, whether it's dealt professionally. I mean, I'm not the advocate for chemicals. I don't like that. I don't think that is a solution, because women had postpartum also 2,000 years ago and 500 years ago, and it was dealt in many different ways, not necessarily chemicals. I'm not coming now with solutions. I'm just explaining that there are periods in our life that we really don't have a control over what we're going through. I have a student that had to go through horrible operations. And probably just from so much anesthesia and medication, it totally made her so depressed and heavy, and she didn't understand why. And I told her, it must be the drugs. You're getting such heavy drugs, and it's affecting you. So here the person just needs to reach out to the right person to guide them through that period, to get the body clean from the drugs and move on. The problem is with most people, when they fall into any type of depression or sadness, is that they don't seek the right person to help them. And they either think they can do it themselves, or they don't want help, or they turn to the wrong person. Unfortunately, when somebody is drowning, he cannot save himself.
No.
He needs to be pulled out of the water.
Yes.
And when a person is already coming to a place of unhappiness or unsettlement or depression, I know it's very hard to do it. Everything is easier said than done, but the right thing to do is a very quick analysis. Why am I depressed? Where is it coming from? Is it coming from a place of my ego? Is it coming from a real serious place? Is it something that I can deal with? Is it just me being spoiled? when you do a quick analysis and you're doing it with removing your ego, when humbling yourself, you're saying, okay, it's coming from there, from this department. Who can I seek to help me? Mm-hmm. Some people are very strong and they're saying, okay, I'll beat the sadness by whatever. I'll buy myself something. I'll go spoil myself. I'll do a certain act to get myself out of this horrible place. But finding the right person to pull you out from this drowning state is crucial.
Yes. And there's so many of us that are drowning all at once. So the resources are a little bit limited as to find the right person.
And that's why many people, Baruch Hashem, are finding God.
Yes.
Because especially in our generation, we're right now when Mashiach is about to come.
Yes.
Hashem really wants us to scream for Mashiach. That is one of the major reasons why we have problems right now. And the reality is that everybody has problems. Everybody thinks that they only have problems, but the reality is that everybody's dealing with something. And yesterday I gave a lecture kind of on that topic. The topic was more about the coming of Mashiach and dealing with these hard times. But in the room, I believe there was maybe 40 people. We went almost one by one. It was like a meeting, like an AA meeting or something, that everybody had to share. Everyone was sharing a heartbreaking story that they're going through. Heartbreaking. Oh. And I was just saying, look how I started the lecture by saying, we all have problems. And we do, and we think that our problems are greater than the other, but it's my problems. And one of the many reasons for these problems is because Mashiach is about to happen, and Hashem wants us to scream for Mashiach. And if everything will be good, and if I have millions of dollars in my bank account, and I'm healthy, and I have great relationships with any person is surrounding me, and everything is perfect, then why should I bother to scream for Mashiach? And why should I bother to go and seek for God? Because everything is good. Very few people are able to take this state and say, hey, you know what? Everything is so good. Let me thank God all day long. The reality is that the more good my life is, the less I'm thinking of God, because I think that, oh, I made it myself. It's fine. Yes. So God turns the situation around that it's not going to be so good. So I'm going to look for solutions. Then I'm going to run into dead ends, and I'm going to meet brick walls, and then say, okay, my only solution is to turn to the master of the universe who designed this problem. And Hashem is telling us, in other words, I designed the problem. I'm the one who's sending the problem. I'm the one who can remove it. But come back.
Yes.
So Baruch Hashem, a lot of people turn to God, and that is the solution. Because God is the solution. The Torah is the solution. The following the Torah and the mitzvot is the main solution to pull a person out of an unhappy state. I know people who are very, very religious. They're very God-fearing. They follow the Torah with all their heart, and they seemingly have a very hard life. But you see these people with smiles on their face, mm-hmm, all day long. They don't care if they one day have money, they don't have money. This is not working out. Everything comes from Hashem. And we talked about it before, that there's a certain Mishnah that says, who is a real rich person? A person who's happy with what he has. So I can have problems from here to Arizona and still be happy because I accepted that it's coming from God, that it's my problems, and I don't have to deal with somebody else's problems, that I'm familiar with my problems. And problems are, if you're looking at it in a very positive eye, they're here to make me stronger. They're here to refine me. They're here to guide me as like road signs. So it's all about the attitude and how I'm looking at it. And again, I'm very, very giving a very general overview, because there are situations that it's much more than just doing what I'm just saying here. The point is that first of all and most important, a person has to be connected to its source. And we are compared to fish in the sea. And if you take any fish, any type of fish, and you pull him out of his environment, you give him a few seconds and he will die.
Yes.
And maybe there are some species that are able to go out of the water for a certain amount of time and come back into the water. But they still have to live in the water. The reality is that any type of fish must be in his environment. Even doesn't matter if he can be out of the water for 3 seconds, for 1 minute, that's not the point. The point is that we are like fish. And if we are out of our environment, at some point we die spiritually. And our environment is Torah and mitzvahs. So if I'm totally involved in Torah and mitzvahs, then I'm alive. Meaning, spiritually I'm alive, then my spirit is breathing. It's happy. If I'm out of my environment, then slowly, slowly I will die. So maybe I'm type of the species that can be out of my environment for a year and it will not affect me. I mean, like, look at dolphins, for example. They can be out of water for probably, I don't know, I'm not a zoologist or a marine biologist. I think they can be out of the water for half an hour, even more.
Yes.
So, but they cannot live out of the water.
No, no.
So we are the same way. Some of us can live out of the water for a day, and some of us can live out of the water for 5 years. But the reality is that we belong in our sea. The Torah is compared to water, and we belong in the water. And if we remove ourselves from our environment, the reaction will be slow, slow, spiritual withering and eventually death. A spiritual death that will cause me to be very unhappy, because I give there's two lectures online on my website. One of them is the source of sicknesses, and one of them is why the source of I don't remember how they titled it, but something in the same line of the source of why am I unhappy. And in both places I explain that everything that we experience physically, it manifests from the spiritual world.
Yes.
So if I'm sick physically, it's because there's some type of a spiritual sickness in my soul.
Yes.
And if I'm depressed physically or emotionally, same thing, then it's originating from my soul, meaning my soul has a deficiency. And if I go to the root and I fix it, then it will manifest into my body back again, and I'll be back happy, because a poverty or any other thing does not cause me to be sad or upset.
Yes. Can you give an example of that?
Of, you mean of something, that how it manifests?
Yes, how it manifests.
So the easiest way to explain it, and this is a very long topic, but the Zohar explains that our soul has spiritual organs. The same way that our body has organs and limbs, same way that's the structure of the soul. The body is the mold of the soul, which means the way that the body looks, that's how the soul has a shape kind of like the body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I don't want to go into too much explanations, but when I'm talking about soul, I'm talking about the lowest level of our soul that is called nefesh. We have five levels of our soul. The two top ones, the highest level is called Yechida, then Chaya. I think in one of the interviews we explained about it, and if you're not so familiar about it, you can go to my website, and there's one lecture talking about the five levels of the soul. And the lowest levels are called Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. I'm referring to the lowest level that is called Nefesh. The Nefesh has a shape, kind of, to say, of the body. And that's why when we dream of somebody who passed away, we can recognize that person in our thoughts because of the shape that the soul has.
Okay.
So this part of the soul that is called nefesh has limbs, 248 limbs. And that's why we in our body have 248 limbs. And it corresponds to the 248 positive commandments that we have in the Torah. Now, if I follow all 248 commandments from the Torah, the positive ones, I'm drawing life and energy into these spiritual limbs. Then my spiritual body, let's call it, is 100% perfect. So it will manifest into my physical limbs, and I'll not be sick. I'm not going to suffer from anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine, now I take one of the mitzvot away. I stop doing one positive mitzvah. If it's a man, putting tefillin on, putting tzitzit on. Or if it's a woman, saying Birkat HaMazon, the benching after food, giving tzedakah, a charity. There's so many, you just come up with an example for yourself. You stop doing that. What am I spiritually doing? I am not feeding my spiritual organ of my soul. It's not getting its energy, its sustenance. So that organ starts withering and withering and withering, and it manifests into my body. So suddenly, one of my organs are becoming weaker and weaker, and at some point, I become sick. So it originates from the spiritual realm, and this is exactly also with emotional things, and happiness and sadness. Here we're talking about a physical limb, but it's the same thing. My soul is a very sophisticated entity. It's not like this white, transparent thing like Casper. It's a very sophisticated being,
yes.
And it's built from many different components. Many, many different components that get affected by my actions. And when I do a negative action, I mean, what really defines a negative action? Now, if you take the Torah is very clear about what's negative and what's positive. It's very, very clear.
Absolutely.
You can look at common sense and say stealing is a very negative action. So I don't need the Torah to tell me that. It's common sense. Stealing, lying, raping, cheating. I can give you now a whole list of things that my common sense will tell me that it's totally not normal. And it will, you know, be a parallel to the Torah. Some people can come and tell you, no, killing is totally fine. I mean, we have now people in the world, terrorists, that are saying killing is fine because we're doing it in the name of God. Uh-huh. And a lot of people come to me with weird, opinions and saying, if I steal from a thief, it's okay because there's a saying that, you know, stealing from a thief, then you fight. No, it's stealing is stealing. You're not even allowed to steal from an animal, by the way. According to the Torah, I'm not allowed to steal if an animal has its food, and I can take that animal's food. That's stealing from that animal. Yes. And a lot of people, unfortunately, say, oh, stealing from a non-Jew is fine. Somebody told me that. Somebody actually came and told me that not too long ago, that somebody told him that stealing from a non-Jew, it's okay.
Not okay.
And I told him, you're out of your mind. Mm. Stealing is stealing. Doesn't matter if you steal from a wall. And here you have also Chilul Hashem, desecrating the name of God. Who told you such a thing? What kind of you have to be deranged to think that. So a lot of the things that are defined in the Torah, we find them by common sense to be negative. But a lot of the times people make up things in their mind, what's negative and what's positive. The source we have to refer to as to what is positive or negative is only the Torah. Because yesterday, in the morning lecture that I had, there was an argument about a certain topic, and a lot of people were for the topic. They were favoring the topic. And they asked me, how do I see it? And I said, it's nothing to do with my opinion. It's what the Torah says. And the Torah prohibits it. The Torah says it's wrong. That's what it is. It's not about my opinion. God did not consult with me. God did not ask me. He doesn't care about my opinion. He wrote it clear in the Torah, this is prohibited. End of story. The fact that I have my opinion, that's my issue. It doesn't mean that it's right. So to know what's wrong or right, we have to go to the Torah. That's my reference. And if I want to know what can be considered a negative act, the Torah will tell me that very clear. And now if I do a negative act that is in the list in the Torah, I can understand from that when the Torah prohibited me to do something, it's not to annoy me. When the Torah told me not to eat pork, it's not to make my diet uncomfortable. And when the Torah told me not to mix meat and dairy, it's not to annoy me and to make my life hard. Rather, it's the owner's manual. In the same way you buy now a brand new device, an electronic device, it says in the manual, please do not put your brand new computer in the shower. And don't throw the computer out of the window. I get a manual. The Torah is my manual. I cannot decide. I don't know how the world is created. So I have to go to the manual and see what's good for me and what's not bad for me. And Bezat Hashem, after the break, we'll go into a little bit more on that so we can kind of define what is good for me, what is bad for me, and understand that when I do something that is considered negative in the Torah, it's not to annoy me or to make my life harder. Rather, it's a guide of saying that is not good for you and it will damage a piece of your soul that will manifest into your body and will affect you emotionally, spiritually, or physically.
Yes, amen to that. So we're going to our third break. We'll be back with you now.
Billions of people walking,
sleeping,
thinking, dreaming,
crying,
yawning, running,
trying.
Billions of people living, millions of people listening. 101.9 High FM, your radio station of choice since 2008.
Hi,
FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Kavana Show, Body, Mind and Soul. And we are live from Svat. Rabbi Alon Anover is sitting together with me. And we are speaking about why people aren't happy and why people become depressed when they have problems. And problems and issues. And Alon was discussing before the break that we bring about our own. There's areas where we bring about the self-inflicted issues, and then there are issues that where we are just not going. We are going against what the Torah says. We are like a fish out of water. And just to pick up on that is to carry on with the dealing with becoming more happy, becoming, drawing that out of ourselves, because the truth is it's in every single one of us, this ability to be happy and this ability to be satisfied with what we've got, to be happy with our lot in life. Hashem, it's a gift from Hashem. We don't understand it. We look at somebody else's lot and we think, oh, this is what I think I should get. And then that makes us miserable because that's not for us. Hashem has handpicked every single one of us to experience on this earth exactly what we need to experience. And to go with that and to love Hashem for that, because He is the master of the universe. He knows above and beyond exactly what every single one of us needs to reach our absolute best.
Definitely. You know that our sages that teach Kabbalah, the teachings of Kabbalah, we know that we're all reincarnated. And it's talked about already in the Zohar, but there are many books of Kabbalah, mainly from the Arizal, talking about reincarnation, why we get reincarnated, and all that has to do with that. And part of these teachings is teaching us that at some point we all go through the same thing.
Mm.
We all get reincarnated. Some of us are here 5 times, maybe some of us are here 10 times, maybe some of us 100 times. We don't even know how many times we come to this world. But the teachings of Kabbalah, it tells us that at some point we all go through the same thing. So at some point in one of your lives, you'll be rich. And one of your lives, you'll be poor. One of your lives, you'll be married. One of your lives, you're not going to be married. We all go through some type of a circle that at the end of the day, when all the souls are standing together, no one can come to complain to God, why did you not give me that opportunity? So God says, no, I gave everybody the same opportunities, just it's not coming in the same life. So one life, I'll be rich, you'll be poor. One life, you'll be poor, I'll be rich.
Yeah.
And the wheel turns. So one life I can have a lot of money and a successful business and a beautiful relationship, but I'll suffer a loss of a child, chas v'shalom. And in a previous life, I'll have the best family life, but poor, completely poor. Our life is like a scene. It's like a script. The point to understand from that, to elaborate on what you're saying, yeah. First of all, it's a very big sin to be jealous.
Yes.
First of all, people don't understand that. Being jealous is lo tachmod, is one of the Ten Commandments. It's basically saying, I'm not happy with what God gave me, and I want something that doesn't belong to me.
Mm.
And this is really a sin, to be jealous of somebody.
Mm.
Regardless of when you're jealous, the reaction is right away sadness, because why she has a nicer car than me? And why he was able to marry a beautiful woman and me not. Whatever, I don't know, I'm just giving some weird examples of what I'm hearing from people. And when I'm not happy with what I have, right away it will affect me negatively. But the point is that if I'm looking at it in a very cosmic way, and not in a personal way, at some point I had everything.
Yeah.
It's just right now my turn is to be the poor one. In my previous life, I was happy. Now I know it's not a good answer, because people say, "I don't care what I had the previous life; I care what I have in this life." The reality is that the rhythm of life is to one time you up and one time you down.
Yes.
And if you go now to the hospital, chas v'shalom, everybody should be healthy and not go into a hospital. But if chas v'shalom happens to be that you go to a hospital and you look at the people who are connected to the monitor, you see that the line is jumping up and down, and it beeps, tit 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 tit. One time the line is up, then it goes down, then it goes up, then it goes down. And if chas v'shalom the line becomes flat, it means the person died. So the rhythm of life is up and down. One time you're up, one time you're down. The problem is that when we're down, we stay down. And when we're up, we complain because it's not as up as I want it to be. And we're not looking at the rhythm of life. And when I let life and the energy of the universe take me, then yes, so one day I'm happy, so I'm appreciative. And then the next day I'm down, I'm happy because I'm getting momentum, or I'm in a stage of being a little bit low. There's nothing wrong with that,
nothing
of being low for a second.
Yes.
The point is that we kind of fight the rhythm of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to see how to really go with the rhythm of life is you can look at many different types of sports. For example, look at surfing. If you want to be a very good surfer and you want to enjoy the sport, you have to go with the waves. You cannot go against the waves. So, and that's in many different types of sports. Yes. But just as an example, and surfing is a very, very fun thing to do. When I was young, I used to surf. It's a very special feeling to glide on water and to feel the air and the water. It's very special.
Yes.
But you have to do it according to the rules of nature and the rules of the ocean. And there's a certain moment that you have to stand up and a certain moment that you have to bend down.
Yes.
If you're not following the rules, you fall down. If you follow the rules and you let nature take you, then you enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn from that. This is one example out of many, but you can learn from that that the world has a rhythm. And if you glide with the rhythm of the world, then you enjoy the ride. When you start pretending or developing your own rhythm or going against the rhythm, that's when you fall. And that brings us back to this expectations, because I did something according to my thought or my opinion, my desire, and it failed because that's not the rhythm. And then I have this disappointment. And that's what the Torah teaches you, that you have to be humble in front of Hashem. Now, humble is not to cover yourself and be modest. Humble means that Hashem is he's the manager of the orchestra. He's the producer. He's the director. I can't come and now change the script. I have to go according to the rhythm. And the Torah teaches you, hey, yeah, you have to follow the Torah. The mitzvahs are like air, and the Torah is like food for us. And if you don't have air and food, you die. And if I'm not providing my soul the sustenance it needs, the easiest way to explain it is almost like you look at sometimes the little kids, they eat like a whole pint of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And half an hour later, they have the worst stomach ache.
Yes.
Because, yeah, you can enjoy the ice cream. Eat a little bit. Too much of it will cause you a stomach ache. Same thing in this world. If I do something that is not in the line of nutritions, the spiritual nutritions of my soul, I will get a spiritual stomach ache. So if I do a certain act, in my mind, it's fine. Or I come up with some type of excuse that it's fine to do it. But the Torah tells me you're not allowed to do it. It's like me abusing the ice cream and eating and eating and eating, and then I'm lying on my bed with a stomach ache and complaining that I have a stomach ache. So I have to go with the line of what the Torah tells me to do. And the Torah is very, very smart. It's not to make my life hard, and it's not to make my life annoying. It's guiding me. And all these rules are putting me on the right track, that I'm not going to hurt myself, that I'm not going to damage myself, that I'm not going to damage these fibers, these spiritual fibers in my soul that cause me to be spiritually and emotionally sick. So that's the basics of the basics. But then the Torah comes and teaches you beyond the rituals, is how to interact with the world. And the first thing you need to do is you need to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself in front of God and accept that everything comes from God. And the more you ignore the problems you're dealing with, the more they disappear.
Absolutely. I found that personally. Just ignore them.
Yeah. You ignore them and they disappear. Or the remedy here is to help and to deal with other people's problems. Because
yes.
When you're busy with dealing with other people's problems, then your problems really disappear.
They really disappear, yes.
And the next thing is to just humble yourself in front of other people. And when you humble yourself in front of another person, the reaction will be that you don't have an ego. We get upset and sad because of our ego. I'm not talking right now of depression that comes like what we said before, from some type of a chemical imbalance or some type of a hormone imbalance or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these basic things that annoy us, that brings me into a place of sadness and being uncomfortable and being depressed. And the more I humble myself, then it means that I'm reducing and killing my ego. And the more I don't have an ego, then I'm not going to get upset. And the Torah is the source of all these guides and how to do and what to do. And really it's about focusing on what I have and not focusing on what I'm lacking. And really it's focusing on what I achieved and not what I failed. Because life is going to be full of disappointments, full of failures, full of things that I wanted to do and I never did. The point is to look at the half a full cup and not the half empty cup. And again, I know these are nice slogans and you can make nice stickers out of it, bumper stickers. And a lot of people say, okay, yeah, I heard that already. It's easier said than done. First of all, it's actually easy to do. when you really focus on what you want to do. The problem is a lot of us get spoiled and we stop along the way. And really, a person really needs to connect himself to his source, because the source I call God. God has many names, but one of the ways how I refer to God is the source of life. And if I distance myself from the source of life, then what kind of a life I'm going to have? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have any type of life. Bezrat Hashem, after the break, we'll continue a little bit and talk about a little bit more.
Okay. So we're going to our final and last break and just wrap up, and we'll be back with you now. Good morning and welcome to the Kavana Show, Body, Mind and Soul. And we are live from Sfat, Israel, and it is so good to be with you this Wednesday morning. And I have Rabbi Alon Anava sitting next to me, and we have been speaking about why people aren't happy and why people have become depressed, because they have problems and issues like every single one of us. That's part of the human experience. And just before the break, and we're going to wrap up with this, is that when we disconnect from the source of life, that is when the problems become, so the problems are there, but they become painful. I always say that the problems are there, but when one starts to resist, that is when the pain comes. And as a midwife, when I'm helping a lady birth, is to get her to go with it, to go with the breathing, to go with her body, and not to resist. The resisting causes the pain. So exactly. How do we get our listeners to go with it, to flow
to go with the
with
flow
it?
I mean, I know it's not the solution that most people want to hear, but I find that the more you are connected to God and follow his guide, then you go with the stream. I always try to say, to teach people exactly what you're saying. Don't fight what you're going through. Don't fight with it. Let go with it. And it's the same way in martial arts, and martial arts, in many different types of martial arts, they teach you, don't use your power, use your enemy's power. Yes. Because the enemy can be 100 kilos heavier than you, or your enemy can be much, much stronger than you, and you can't physically overpower the enemy. So don't use your power. Not only that, when you use your power too many times, at some point you run out of energy. The point is to use your enemy's power. Now here we're looking at two things. First, our enemy is the Yetzer Hara. You can use the Yetzer Hara's power, because we talked about before about the Nefesh. We have what's called the Nefesh HaBehemit, an animal soul, and it's considered to an animal, compared to an animal. And we know that our Yetzer Hara is compared to a bull. A bull is a very strong ox, and you use the power of the bull to plow the land or to carry heavy things. So we can use the power of the Yetzer Hara for positive things. But the not necessarily always I have to deal with the power of the enemy, but the world, the universe has a certain energy, and I might see it as a negative energy. Instead of fighting it, then I have to go with it. Mm-hmm. And use that momentum and the power of that energy, because ultimately it's all good.
Yes.
And that's really kind of going with the rhythm, and the only way of doing it is really following the Torah. And I know it's not the solution that everybody wants to hear, because people want the easy solution,
yes,
the easy way out. And don't tell me now I have to be religious. It's not about being religious. Following God is not being religious. It's just doing what the master of the universe told me. He created the world. He created me. He knows what's good for me. So he gave me a book, a very easy book to read. And he tells me, in this book, you'll find all the things you need to know. Don't try to outsmart the book. This is the manual. So really the source of happiness is only being connected to God, following what he says. Then your soul is happy. If your soul is happy, you will be happy. It doesn't matter what's going to happen to you. The main reason why we are not happy is because our soul is not happy. So you need to nourish your soul with Torah and mitzvahs and acts of kindness and charity, and build your soul and nourish your soul and feed your soul. If your soul is happy, doesn't matter what happens to you in this world, you will be happy. You'll have this inner peace and inner happiness. Bezrat Hashem, we should all merit to have this unbelievable happiness now with the coming of Mashiach.
Amen to that. And we have come to the end of the show, and I have got some messages here and I just want to acknowledge them. We don't have time to read them and to go into them. Please, God, maybe another show we can look at them and answer them. Alon is going to be going to on a tour of America from next week. He leaves next Wednesday. And maybe we'll be able to Skype, maybe we won't. However, we all wish him the best and great success. And this tour that you're doing, that you're going to America for, is to raise funds for a ladies' yeshiva. Ladies over and above age 40, that there's no place in Israel and no place in the world for these ladies to actually come and learn. So what Alon is doing is just absolutely amazing. So I'd like to take the opportunity to wish you the best of Hatzlacha and just from strength to strength. And anybody wanting to just follow, Alon constantly posts morning, noon and night. I always say, I don't know when you sleep. And morning,
I have people doing it. I don't.
That he posts all his shiurim and shares literally his body, mind and soul with us. So with that, just remains to say goodbye for today, this Wednesday, and to have the best Wednesday, to have the best week, and when it comes to Shabbos, to have the best Shabbos. And from Kavanah Friedman and Alon, bye-bye for now.